Hi, my name is Travis Baldwin, and this week for COVID Race and Democracy, me and my co-producer, Gabe Cromie, asked our peers about how they're doing during the pandemic, but most importantly, how they've changed since March 12th.
I feel like dying every couple months. Spent this past year falling in and out of lust. Honestly, I wish that shit was love, but it ain't no one.
We started with our friend Jack, who at the beginning of the pandemic would tally each day of quarantine on his wall and post it to Instagram.
I started because I thought it would be funny. And, like a cartoon, jail cell kind of thing, where they do that thing. And I didn't think that coronavirus would last that long. So I thought it would be a kind of a cool thing to just have on my wall. But now I stopped doing it around 70 days. And now if I put it all in, I think it would cover up pretty much that entire small section of the wall. So I stopped doing it mainly just because I was really struggling to do simple tasks during lockdown, especially during the, before summer started, before I started seeing my friends, just spending a lot of time by myself. I had a really hard time getting out of bed and stuff. And one day it just stopped.
Would you say that was kind of a pivotal moment when you stopped doing tallies on the wall?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I really stopped thinking about hoping to return to school soon or any of that stuff. I felt a shift in ideology.
And Jack says that shift is where things started to get rough for him.
I have been more depressed because just being in my house, I feel claustrophobic in my room just because of how much time I've spent here and how many different experiences and feelings I've had in the past 8 months here. And it just gives me anxiety because I've spent so much time here and I've had good times here, I've suffered here, and it just feels very strange and weird because of, just because of the feelings associated with the room.
We then talked to Mumi, a Berkeley High student who has also had some intense changes during quarantine.
I think as the weeks went on and it got longer and longer and longer, I started to realize this is a real thing, and I have to prepare myself to understand that it might be months before I can be back with people again and have my life operate the way that it was. I think that with the pandemic, I was able to, a lot of people experience this, you're able to focus on yourself more. So something that was really good is that I was able to get out of a really abusive relationship and kind of move on with my life. What really helped me realize or get myself out of that situation was that I wasn't distracted by other factors of my life. I was really able to kind of finally start noticing patterns, seeing things that, everybody else in my life was seeing, but I was seeing for the first time, I think that usually what would happen before the pandemic is that, something would come up, it would be hurtful, and I just didn't even have the time or energy to understand what had just happened, and then I just move on. Whereas because I was so, not preoccupied with anything, I could understand that what had just happened was hurtful, and I would be that's not okay. I shouldn't have to go through that. And it just kept happening over and over again. I was realizing that this has just been the entire relationship is just me getting hurt and not doing anything about it. Approaching the person and getting even more hurt out of retaliation. So I think it definitely, in terms of relationships in general, but especially romantic relationships, kind of helps people be more aware of how interactions are being made and thinking about interactions more on a introspective level, as opposed to just having things happen and then just moving on. it kind of helps you focus on like, how does that make me feel? And like, what do I want? Is this what I want, et cetera. I mean, being in isolation has definitely put me at this like feeling of really intense desperation. And I found myself wanting to get back together with my abuser because I had such a strong like bond attachment to him that was all trauma based, but you know, it's real. And I would get really, really impulsive and just like text him in the middle of the night and he'd respond. And I'd just like get all of these like feelings of like really intense, bad, negative feelings. And it would last for like a week. And I'd just be in like a really deep set depression for like a week. Cause I talked to this guy who just like made me feel like shit. And I think that definitely had a huge toll on me, like this like feeling of vulnerability right after I'd broken up with this person who like already kind of put in my mind that like if I didn't have them in my life that my life would be ruined. So it kind of just like fed off of it, like the two fed off of each other, and that was really difficult. It's hard to like get out of that situation and then feel really alone. So that was difficult. I'm a lot better with that though. I've kind of gotten to a place where I feel strong enough to like stop myself in those situations.
Next, I interviewed my co-producer Gabe to ask him about his moments of desperation during the pandemic.
I got pretty bad OCD, so I guess I go hard on like small shit. I'm like, damn, I really gotta get myself some Invisalign.
You know? Like, oh, yeah, tell me more about your obsession.
I don't know. It's hard to go into, man, but just, I don't know. I guess it's insecurity, which that's one thing, because I feel like I have improved a lot as a person with quarantine, but I got more time for my OCD to go rampant and for my insecurity to worsen because, you know, you're just alone in your place. So I don't know. I'll go through my phone. I'll see a pic of myself with some with my teeth like messed up. I'll look up like person side view of teeth. I'll compare the two.
That all so crazy. I'll
figure out what I would get Invisalign.
So crazy. So you look up photos of other people's teeth to compare?
No, I guess pretty crazy. Tell me about the there was a while ago near the beginning of quarantine where I truly believed it, because a bunch of my old photos, like one of my eyelids went down like slightly more than my other one. I truly believed I had like a lazy eye or something. So I went so hard and I would just like always be looking at old photos. I was like practically planning a surgery for my eyelid when I turned 18. And I was just obsessed with it. I never told you this, but I would tape up my eyelid sometimes to like train it like a muscle. One day I just thought to myself, I took a picture of myself or whatever, and I was like, man, I don't even see the difference, to be honest. It's like, and I just slowly kind of, I just wean myself off of it, and I make myself stare at the photo of myself. It's like all the time I just make myself stare at it. And eventually it's like, yeah, I'm a good looking person. I don't understand why I have to go this hard. And I just do that every day. Like instead of obsessing, I would train myself just to stare at myself long enough that no longer bothered me. And I kind of just beat it like that.
We then talked to Asimex, whose music we played at the beginning of the piece. We asked him about how he uses music to cope with the stress of quarantine.
Yeah, for surely, because music is very therapeutic. Even like listening to music or making music, you know, is like, it's a way to relieve stress. Cause for that, like, say like I'm making a song for the 30 minutes I'm making that song, I'm like in a whole different mindset and I'm in a whole different place. You know what I mean? I'm like away from the world. I don't really have to worry about other problems. The only task I'm really worried about is making this song sound as good as it can possibly be.
We also asked what he thinks about quarantine's effect on our generation.
I feel like quarantine is really a time that's going to breed like nuance and innovation, because not only is it going to like change the way we interact with each other, but it's also going to change the way that we express ourselves. I feel like because a lot of people have the time to really sit at home and do what they want to do and like hone in on their craft. Like I have a homie I go to school with who like really always like loved poetry, but was never too good at it. And he's gotten a lot better because over quarantine, he's just like challenged himself to write like 2 poems a day.
We also pitched this question to Georgia, a Berkeley High student and photographer, who made a pretty good point.
I think now that kids are not in the eyes of everyone around them, they're more comfortable doing things that aren't so mainstream, and that can be a major thing that I can notice is just everyone's style is changing a lot, and everyone seems a bit more unique in that way. And that I think style is a reflection of, you know, internal self. So there's definitely a lot of people changing just because there's no judgment aside from yourself, pretty much.
We took this idea to Gabby, one of the most fashionable people we know, and a fashion TikToker with over 4 million likes.
Do you think you're exploring yourself fashion-wise in like more strange or unique ways because there's kind of no one to watch you, like because you're inside all the time?
I don't know. Because I'm kind of being watched a lot, I have a big following. So I am being watched a lot, but in the beginning when I didn't have that, yeah, I was doing it because when I went to school, I'd wear like 1 or 2 chains and people were like, why are you wearing chains? Like, why are you wearing a dog collar? People question things and it makes me feel insecure already. So I didn't have that. I didn't post about it much and I just explored it. So yeah, it did help.
How is your TikTok? You have a shitload of followers. You kind of blew up in certain communities. How has your TikTok affected your quarantine experience?
It kind of made me feel like I was seen, because I've always kind of, I had braces and glasses and a weird haircut for a very long time. Then I lost weight and put on some weird makeup and chains, and people started recognizing me and listening to me. Sorry for the dogs.
It's okay.
it was very interesting. It was an outlet for me to, a way for me to express myself. And I actually like, I think it helped me get through quarantine and like get ready sometimes. Because a lot of us just wear PJs a lot and just don't really go out the house. But I get ready sometimes. Like right now I'm wearing makeup because I did TikToks. And I got up this morning and got myself ready. So it just helps a little bit.
And similarly to Gabby, almost everyone we talked to associated their best times in quarantine to art. Miyumi started a magazine called Anti-Fragile. Asim X is working on his next album. And you can follow Georgia's photography page at Georgia Cassie Photography. And for Gabe, well, Gabe does things like this.
Units yet to a old, but it ain't no point in celebration when I feel alone. Never been able to keep anyone close. Ignoring thousands of texts on my phone.
And as for how we're all collectively feeling, we think Georgia said it the best.
Well, in the beginning, it's like, oh, it's only going to be a week. Oh. 6 months, okay, and then, you know, you kind of get, like, just, like, depressed about that, even if it's not conscious, you can just, like, start feeling sad, just because, like, the whole energy of the world has switched, but, what was the question?
How has it been stressing you out?
Oh, yeah, But, I mean, there's always light at the end of the tunnel. There's always light at the end of the tunnel. And I know that, you know, there's a whole vaccine that's going to come out to everyone someday, which is sad, but it's, you got to make do of what you can have.